Hi, this is Brad Friedman, and you're listening to an encore rebroadcast of The Brad Show on Raw Radio. Don't bother to call us, because ain't no one gonna answer your calls.
This is your FBI. This is your FBI. An official broadcast from the files of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, presented as a public service by the Equitable Life Assurance Society of the United States. To your FBI, you look for national security, and to the Equitable Society for financial security. These two great institutions are dedicated to the protection of you, your home, and your country.
Friendly blogger, friendly citizen blogger, Brad Friedman, right here on The Brad Show via Raw Radio. We've got your news agenda right here. Yes, whistleblowers, politicians, newsmakers, those who cover them, and those who don't. Every Saturday night, coast to coast and around the globe via the IBC Radio Network. 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time. We're going to have Colleen Rowley, FBI 9/11 whistleblower, and yes, Time Magazine Person of the Year for 2002. Our first Time Magazine Person of the Year. Let's see. Got some business while we're trying to get Colleen on the phone. I wanted to actually cover about Paul Hackett. He's running in Ohio's 2nd District. And I got a report from Bob Brigham, a blogger, this morning that things are going well, that there's a lot of momentum out there for the special election next Tuesday in Ohio's 2nd District. Of course, Paul Hackett is a Iraqi vet who is, what do you know, he's running for Congress as a Democrat. Of course, it's in Warren County, Ohio, so anything could go on there. So they can use your help. If you're anywhere nearby and you want to help out, they're asking folks to call the Paul Hackett headquarters at 513-735-4310 to find out what you can do. What you can do here is give us a call at 323-650-1286. If you have any questions for Colleen Rowley, she'll be coming up here very shortly. Don't wait till the final segment because, like Catherine, who called in from Ireland, I'm sorry we ran out of time there, Catherine, but thanks for giving us a call, and apologies for missing your second question, whatever it was. I had no control over it. That's Desi's fault. Anyway, this portion of The Brad Show is made possible in part by TheHighBidder.com. Looking for great bargains? Searching for that hard-to-find item and want to save some money when you finally do it? Well, TheHighBidder.com is here to help. Hundreds of quality items from the antiques. See, I'm falling. From antiques to travel. That you just can't find anywhere else, but you can find them at thehighbidder.com. Henri, this is your fault. The French guy's running. That's whose fault it is. I knew it was. Perhaps you'd feel like making some money. Clean out those closets and turn your clutter into cold, hard cash by posting an auction online at thehighbidder.com. With us, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3, even if you have never sold online before. Using our auction listing software is a snap, and with no listing fees or final sales fees, you get to keep more of the profits. You can even open up your very own e-store at thehighbidder.com. We invite you to join us today. Browse our listings and find your treasure. Bargains for buyers, savings for sellers. thehighbidder.com, your affordable online auction alternative. Stop by today and give our best to our friend Goran. Hey, Goran. Sorry I screwed up that ad. Please forgive me. In any case, all right, let me see what other business we got under here. Man, did you like that this is the FBI thing at the top of the... Yeah, that was pretty cool. I like that. Colleen missed it, though. We didn't have her on the line yet because Kat mixed up the phone number. She's Liz Dexic. That's what it says on my monitor. Nice going, Kat. But I think we got her now, so I'll go ahead and get right to it. Give us a call, 323-650-1286, to say hello. In January 1981, Colleen Raleigh was appointed a special agent with the FBI. She was transferred to Minneapolis in 1991, where she provided regular legal and ethics training to FBI agents of the division. In May 2002... she brought pre-9/11 lapses to light when she testified to the Senate Judiciary Committee about some of the endemic problems facing the FBI and the intelligence community. That year, she was named one of Time Magazine's People of the Year in 2002 for recognition of her whistleblowing efforts in helping to expose the bureaucratic failures which led to overlooking important information concerning the so-called 20th hijacker, Zacharias Moussaoui, after suspicious activity at a flight school in Minnesota. In April 2003, following an unsuccessful and highly criticized attempt to warn the FBI director and other administration officials about the dangers of launching the invasion of Iraq, will they ever learn to listen to Colleen when it matters? Oh, brother. After that, she stepped down from her legal position at the FBI to go back to being an FBI special agent before finally retiring at the end of 2004. She now speaks publicly to various groups on ethical decision-making and balancing civil liberties with the need for effective investigation. Ms. Raleigh is married with 4 children. She's an avid triathlete, oh, Lord. And yes, she is now seeking the Democratic nomination for the U.S. Congress in Minnesota's 2nd Congressional District, hoping to unseat Republican John Klein, who she once backed at the ballot box. That's right. Ms. Raleigh used to vote Republican, and the House of Representatives ain't seen nothing yet. Welcome to the Brad Show, Ms. Raleigh. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you for being on here tonight. Really appreciate it. I pointed out that you are the first Time Magazine Person of the Year that we've ever had on the Brad Show.
Well, of course, that was just kind of a publicity or, I don't know, I guess an award that that I didn't really seek at the time. And actually, neither did Sharon Watkins and Cynthia Cooper.
That was the Enron and WorldCom whistleblowers?
Yep, we had all turned down an interview with Time Magazine individually, but when they offered to get us together and meet each other and compare notes, then we all said yes. But we thought it would be an article in the back of the magazine and wouldn't make the cover.
Well, you made the cover all right, and it was the year of the whistleblowers, and I expected we would see more whistleblowers since then, but they've sort of been few and far between, and when they come out, they get beat up, unfortunately. We'll talk a little bit about that in a second, but I want to ask you what happened. Now, you voted for the Republican that you're now running against this year for the U.S. Congress, I guess, in 06. Now, why would that possibly be, Colleen?
Well, I mistakenly associated the Republicans with the Conservative Party for a long time, I guess based on Eisenhower principles. And, you know, I think maybe in the 90s, the late 90s, there were a couple of clues that this was starting to change, but I wasn't paying attention until after Bush and Cheney were elected the first time. And around the summer of 2002, when this lead up to the Iraq war was beginning, it was starting to dawn on me that this party was no longer the party of fiscal conservativeness, nor even of, you know, other kinds of conservativeness, like holding to international law and truth and integrity, this type of thing.
Well, I'm glad you noticed, and I'm glad you were willing to come out and do something about it, because I scratch my head whenever I hear these These, I call them Bush dead-enders at this point. I mean, these guys who call themselves Republicans, who call themselves conservatives, you know, this bunch in the White House is anything but conservative. I have no problem with conservatism, but these guys are not conservative.
Right. There's a lot of good to be said about conservative principles. It means that you hold to time-honored and, you know, tested principles. That's all conservative means. It means you're not faddish and that you don't jump on to the newest fad. Well, gutting Social Security, for instance. Now, what's conservative about gutting something that stood the test of time and been one of our better-run programs and served as a safety net all these years and worked well? What's conservative about saying, well, the Geneva Convention is a quaint thing, and yeah, we don't need to worry about it right now? I mean, these things really are radical, and I think that people get blinded by what has gone on, thinking that the Republicans still represent conservative values.
You're right. They don't. And now your district in Minnesota is, I understand, a heavy GOP-leaning district. Is that changing, do you suppose?
Well, in my public speaking on ethical decision-making, where, of course, I don't really approach it from the fundamentalism type thing. I approach ethical decision-making from a social psychology aspect, pointing out things like groupthink and the pressures to conform and conflicting loyalties and this type of thing. But when I've been speaking over the last year, I've had a lot of people who have come up and said, you know, I was a Republican, I was a conservative, and I cannot believe what's going on. And so I have sensed that that things are changing. But there are still a lot of people who cannot grasp that this kind of, and a lot of people, frankly, that are not paying attention to the news, that have not quite figured out that the Republican Party has become more radical than ever before.
Yeah, it's been hijacked, frankly, by neocons who are anything but conservative. I mean, this war in Iraq is certainly not conservative, and this reaching out all over the world as we are, you know, and there's pluses and minuses to it, but it's not conservative. So it just kind of irritates me when folks say, oh, I'm conservative, so I back George Bush.
And what about deficit spending?
The largest budget in the history of mankind.
Yeah, that is probably the most shocking thing from an Eisenhower Republican and in perspective. In Minnesota, now he's just recently died, but we had a Republican governor who spoke out before the last presidential election, and he was, you know, had, I don't know, I think he was around 90-some years old. And a few weeks before the election, he wrote this earth-shaking letter that says he could not believe what had happened to his own party.
Yeah, well, it really is remarkable, and it's remarkable that people don't know. I mean, you said they may not be paying attention to the news. I got a problem. I think the news is not really reporting what's really going on, so I have a hard time holding it completely against the public at large. Yes, the information is out there if you want to go looking for it, but we really need the corporate media to get their act together and report what's actually going on out there.
Yeah, you know what I think it is, too, is if you read to the 14th page,
yeah,
then you will find the real news. But you can't stop on the front page. And so if you just glance at the headlines, and this was the case before the Iraq War, people said, how did you know? How did you know that the pipes, the centrifuge pipes, were not really designed for uranium enrichment? How did you know that Kamel, I think it's Kamel Hussein, who was the son-in-law of Saddam,
yeah,
how did you know that he had said that all of the weapons were destroyed after the first Gulf? And I said, well, you know, you had to read further past the front page. There were articles, but they were back on, you know, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11.
Right. And those weren't Judith Miller articles either, by the
way.
No,
Judith Miller, I think, was on the front page.
Yes, I think she was. We're speaking with Colleen Raleigh, FBI whistleblower, former FBI whistleblower, now running for Congress in Minnesota. Now, you said, I read an AP article, Colleen, that said you oppose the Iraq War and parts of the Patriot Act. I would ask you, Two-part question here. Which parts of the Patriot Act do you oppose, and aren't those provisions supposed to make the job of folks in the FBI easier? That's what we hear from George Bush all the time, and the Justice Department, that they need the Patriot Act to be able to, so that the FBI can do their jobs.
Yeah, you know, the Bush administration tries to paint everything black or white, when oftentimes it is something gray in the middle, or a zigzag line at least. The Patriot Act is 160 different provisions. Most of them really were a catch-up to technology. That's why they were on the drafting board. Many of them are not really controversial. However, there are at least two or three, four or five things that are somewhat controversial. And the things that are the most intrusive, things like wiretaps, basically monitoring someone's computer, or a secret search of someone's residence, those are the most intrusive law enforcement techniques that can happen. And you can do them under criminal law if you get a judge's say-so. Well, in the new situation that we're in, instead of going to a regular criminal judge, you go to a secret court. You go to one judge, but it's called the FISA court, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act court. Now, here's the problem. It's not that you shouldn't be allowed to go to that secret judge and ask for this authority in emergencies and when you actually have good, substantial information. We want some kind of an emergency provision. However, here's the problem. It's the numbers. The numbers have gone from 900 to 1,200, now up to 1,750 of these secret searches. And what you're lacking here is the judiciousness and the oversight of this technique.
You're saying that there has been 1,750 requests for these secret searches?
Yeah. I can tell you the exact numbers. In 2001, there were 932. In 2002, it went up to 1,227, I believe. 2003, it went up to 1,720-some. And in 2004, it leveled off a little, 1,754. Now, if you wouldn't know, these are applications for secret searches of this FISA court. And the FISA court's like the old Get Smart, you know, where the cone of silence come down.
Right.
It's cloaked in perpetual secrecy. Not just temporary secrecy, but perpetual secrecy, and that alone is a problem.
So we don't even know of those 1,750 per year, these secret searches, we have no idea how many of them actually led to a proper arrest or something.
No, of course not. You don't know any of the results. What I'm advocating is that some trusted independent authority have some oversight over this process, because it's been proven many times that you cannot allow the people who are engaged in the zealous enforcement. And it's not that their fault. If you think about what happened in London, and you think about people under a time clock trying to prevent acts of terrorism,
right.
when the orange alerts went on and there was panic and fear even in the United States, it is very likely that that kind of pressure leads to abuses. And so I don't think it's anyone's real fault for doing this, but we need some independent oversight to say when it's judicious and when it's not.
Yeah, and there isn't those oversights. And my understanding in Patriot 2 is that they may not even have to go to a judge, a FISA judge. Is that correct? Can you confirm that one way or the other?
Well, that's for something called third-party searches.
Right.
And it's not quite the most intrusive things, like wiretaps and computer searches and actually breaking into someone's residence, those would still require going to a FISA judge. The things that they're talking about that could get easier through a letter are records from third parties. And the reason for that is under Fourth Amendment law, third parties actually, you take that risk, for instance, when a library has your records. You take the risk as a librarian may tell somebody or whatever.
Kathleen Rowley is running with Ethics in Government as the cornerstone of her campaign in her race for the U.S. Congress in Minnesota. Ethics in Government, how quaint. When you announced your intention to run, you were joined by a man who drove all through the night from southern Wisconsin to be there. He was the father of a 25-year-old woman who died at the World Trade Center. That's That's remarkable. Had you known him before?
Yes, I had met him one time when I spoke at the National Air Disaster Alliance Foundation.
Right.
And the president of the National Air Disaster Alliance Foundation also flew from the East Coast to come to my announcement, which I was really humbled and gratified that they both came. Now, interestingly enough, the father, his name is Mr. Haberman, and he also was a Republican. And he's also, what people have to understand here is this is not a lack of toughness in the fight against terrorism. And the 9/11 victims, of course, they themselves were personally affected. So there's no group, there's no interest group that has a stronger interest in fighting terrorism in a very effective, tough way. But if you notice, the vote in New York City, the city that had the most, you know, was most affected by the attack,
sure,
they actually went, I think, 75% for Kerry.
Yes, they did. There was something very funny on The Daily Show, that they're too close to it all. They don't understand, like the people in the red states in Ohio or whatever, what danger they're in. And it's really incredible that those most affected by it seem to have a very different opinion about it than those who are making a lot of the decisions in this country.
No, they want people who have been through this, first of all, they're not complacent, and number two, they want to see us improve and be more effective. They do not want to see diversion of resources to a deceptive war in Iraq that actually makes the situation worse.
Hold the thought, Colleen. I got to get out for a break here. George is in Denver, recovering Republican, wants to ask you about 9/11. We'll be back with him and more with Colleen Raleigh on The Brad Show. Stay tuned.
Raw Radio. 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 This is your last chance.
Lou Gentili Show is a progressive radio talk show that includes paranormal, alternative, unusual, and other than mainstream topics. Hi, this is Lou Gentili. Join me Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. till 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the IBC Radio Network, where we explore ghosts, UFOs, unexplained phenomena, and the paranormal. Check out our website, www.lougentili.com. The Lou Gentili Show, paranormal talk radio with an edge.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Paul, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer's got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
The future of radio.
the IBC Radio Network.
Are you looking for a long-term, high-growth investment? Are you sick of the here-today and gone-tomorrow companies and stock prices that collapse to zero? Just as in life itself, there are no guarantees on Wall Street. But high-risk investors should check out International Broadcasting Corporation, trading on the over-the-counter bulletin board, stock symbol IBCS. IBCS is focused upon building successful publishing, broadcasting, and media ventures. IBCS is the parent company of the IBC Radio Network, a 24/7 satellite-distributed, all-talk radio service. In a little over 2 years, IBC Radio Network has been transformed from an obscure radio service carrying shows found elsewhere into a talk network providing exclusive original material. Shows like Stock Talk Live, believed to be the very first fully interactive 7-hour-long business radio talk show focused exclusively on penny stocks. Another hugely popular show is The Lou Gentili Show, paranormal talk radio at its finest. Lou Gentili is not just a talk show host, but a real paranormal investigator. For a conservative political talk show, check out Talk Show America. Each weekday, host JR interacts with his listeners to bring you a unique talk show experience not found anywhere else. Everyone knows the key to success on Wall Street is finding opportunities before they get discovered by the general population. IBCS has recently experienced phenomenal growth and may be on the verge of being discovered. The company is on a mission to make itself a household name. So if you're a high-risk, high-reward investor, we recommend that you take a look at International Broadcasting Corporation, stock symbol IBCS. For more information, visit the website at www.ibcrn.com. That's ibcrn.com. Remember, the stock market is risky and you could lose some or all of your money. You could make money too. This message is not a solicitation to buy or sell securities. You should never make risky investments without the consultation of a professional investment advisor. This message is paid for by International Broadcasting Corporation, a publicly traded company, stock symbol IBCS.
You need advertising. Without it, no one will hear about your business. Radio is the way to go. Advertising on radio is much more affordable than newspapers, magazines, or television. Advertise your website, product, or service to intelligent, savvy, and moneyed listeners of a 24/7 talk radio network. The IBC Radio Network is the way to go. For more information, call 509-466-3413. That's 509-466-3413. The IBC Radio Network, the future of radio.
Paul Booth, Ed Balkley, John Carpenter, Kevin Clement, Roger Corman, Don Coscarelli, Wes Craven, Guillermo del Toro, Mick Garris, Lou Gentili, Stuart Gordon, Sid Haig, Toby Hooper, Lloyd Kaufman, Alfredo Leon, Lucky McKee, Robert Parigi, George Romero, Eli Roth, Tom Savini, David J. Scal, Mike Verani, Joe Wolf, Rob Zombie. These are the people on the Creative Advisory Board of the Horror Channel. Are you a horror fan? Coming soon, the only 24-hour cable and satellite network dedicated to horror fans around the world. For more information, visit their website at www.horrorchannel.com. That's www.horrorchannel.com. Please call your local cable and satellite providers and tell them that you want the Horror Channel. Make sure they log your call.
If you think that ghosts just don't exist, think again.
Ghosts have been captured in photographs, on audio tapes, and even in film. Yes, ghosts do exist at www.renesghosts.com.
Attention pet owners, how would you like your dog or cat to behave instantly on command? Now you can with a pet trainer. So easy to use, it's like having a remote control for your pet. No electric zaps or shocks. This simple handheld device uses safe and effective ultrasonic sound that commands your pet's attention like magic. Here's how it works. Say your dog jumps on your best furniture. Just press the button to emit the sound. As he snaps to attention, give the command to get down. As soon as he obeys, praise him for the good behavior, and that's it. Veterinarian and endorsed, Pet Trainer is the humane way to train pets, whether it's non-stop barking, chewing shoes, pestering house guests, you name it. Plus, it's the animal-friendly way to deal with unwelcome strays or neighbors' dogs. Satisfaction guaranteed, so call now to try it risk-free. Pet Trainer, just $19.95, plus shipping, uses 9-volt battery not included. To order by credit card, call toll-free 1-800-418-8877. That's 1-800-418-8877. 1-800-418-8877.
The future of radio, the IBC Radio Network.
You indicate in your statement that the FBI tasked its field offices to find out what was going on out there. We have no record of that. The Washington field office, international terrorism people say they never heard about the threat. They never heard about the warnings. They were not asked to come to the table and shake those trees. SACs, special agents in charge around the country, Miami in particular, no knowledge of this. And so I really come back to you. Let me ask, add one other thing. Have you actually looked at the NLETs, the messages that the FBI put out?
Yes.
To me, and you're free to comment on them, they are feckless. They don't tell anybody anything. They don't bring anyone to battle stations. And I personally believe, having heard Colleen Rowley's testimony about her frustrations in the Massawi incident, that if someone had really gone out to the agents who are working these issues on the ground and said, we are at battle stations, we need to know what's happening out there, come to us, she would have broken through barriers to have that happen, because she was knocking on doors and they weren't opening.
All right, we're back here on The Brad Show. I am your friendly citizen blogger, Brad Friedman, on Raw Radio with Colleen Rowley. Colleen, did you recognize that music by any chance?
I think I recognized Jamie Gorelick's voice.
That was Jamie Gorelick speaking to Condi Rice about you. But the real trivia question is if you know that music.
No, I didn't.
Okay, that's from The Untouchables.
If you'd had Man from U.N.C.L.E., I would have recognized it.
Ah, okay. Well, I think we had that last week, actually. Anyway, The Untouchable, Colleen Rowley, whistleblower extraordinaire, running for Congress now up in Minnesota. In that first segment, she earned my vote. I'm not a Minnesota citizen, but in our first hour, we heard that all these machines are connected by the Internet. So I'll just send in my vote from here. You can get more information about Colleen at www.ColleenRowley.com. That's C-O-L-E-E-N Rowley, R-O-W-L-E-Y. .com. Of course, whistleblowing after 9/11 about signs that were not properly paid attention to by the let me get to our caller here who's has some 9/11 questions for you anyway. George from Denver, recovering Republican. George, welcome to the Brad Show. You have a question for Colleen.
I got a comment for you. There are going to be some black crown Victoria, Brad, if this Patriot Act you keep talking this way. But
there's going to be some what?
Black crown Victorias with tinted windows coming for you.
Ooh, that's not good.
Hey, it's kind of a joke. Miss Rowley,
yeah, but I'm scared now, George. Thanks. All right, go ahead.
I voted for Bush in 2000. I campaigned for him with my kids in 2004. It was kind of a half-hearted vote for Bush, but I'm now nothing, and I'm taking that 9/11 scenario. Got to look at it like murder investigation, and I want to go back to the first clue, and it's a crime that not one individual has been held responsible for, and that's our military being asleep on stand-down order with NORAD. I mean, this is the most technologically military in the history of mankind. How can we ignore this clue? How can it be so ignored, the first one that happened that day? Thank you. I'm going to hang up and listen.
Thanks for calling in, George. Unafraid, we press forward. Colleen, what do you think? There's a lot of folks, obviously, who have a lot of concerns that we never really figured out what went on 9/11. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I agree with the caller that the call-up or the calling and the alerting and the mobilization of NORAD, even after the 9/11 Commission has done its work, appears to still be the murkiest area. And the reason for that, actually, one of our senators in Minnesota, following some of the 9/11 Commission testimony, wrote up a paper. Senator Mark Dayton actually took issue with the murkiness of this issue. And there is inconsistent entries into the timeline about who was notified, when and where. I think both President Bush and Vice President Cheney gave statements that are somewhat conflicting. And the 9/11 Commission, including Jamie Gorelick, whose voice we just heard, did a pretty good job in unraveling a lot of the things that went wrong. But I think that area is still, to this day, remains quite murky. when they came across an inconsistency, for instance, there was an inconsistency in the testimony between Attorney General Ashcroft and the acting director, Picard. Picard, the FBI director, said that Ashcroft, during the summer of 2001, told him he didn't want to hear anything more about terrorism and didn't even want to be briefed about terrorism during the summer of 2001. Now, Ashcroft denied saying this to Picard. What happened when that happened is that the 9/11 Commission said there's a disagreement, but they were not a jury. They didn't say who they believed. So they put this disagreement in there, but they don't really clarify who was the most believable. And I think with these conflicting statements about NORAD, that was kind of the case, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions that apparently haven't been answered. I know that Cynthia McKinney, Congresswoman from Georgia, was supposed to be on this week's show, and she had to drop out at the last second. She just held a forum on this. So it's your feeling that these folks who want answers about 9/11 still to this day, this many years later, they're not just conspiracy wackos, but there's a reason to be concerned, and there are answers that are still, well, questions that are still unanswered out there.
Yeah, I kind of diverge a little bit from some of the people that, you know, might fall more into the deliberate conspiracy camp, because I think that in government there is a lot of malfeasance that is not deliberately caused. It's just, you know, negligence or perhaps bordering on recklessness and gross recklessness. And what happens is after a bad thing happens and you've been negligent, when the person ought to just admit an honest mistake, instead of that happening, you have cover-ups that occur because people don't even want to admit an honest mistake. I can name you 3, 4, maybe even more examples very quickly of things like that that took 2 years that were just basically drawn out of people. George Tenet, for instance, knew about the case in Minnesota. Now, he didn't come forward after 9/11 and say, I knew about the case of the guy learning to fly in Minnesota. No, it was 1 month before the 9/11 Commission was disbanded when they basically forced him to answer the question. Ashcroft's ranking terrorism as a low priority, or maybe even the lowest priority, in August of 2001. Did we hear anything about this after 9/11? No, it was glossed over and covered up until the 9/11 Commission. Now, these were not deliberate things. I personally, in my heart, do not believe they were deliberate. I think they were mistakes that were made, but people, government officials, really, really have strong pressures that they feel, at least, that they can never admit even an honest mistake.
Yeah, Christopher Hitchens wrote this week. He claimed that George Tenet said to a senator, just after hearing the first news about 9/11, he said, I wonder if it has anything to do with this guy taking pilot training. If Hitchens there is to be believed.
Yeah, you know, that's an important point.
Yeah.
If you think back, what is the 9/11 Commission's number one recommendation? Of their 41 recommendations, they found that there was no one who said that they were accountable. No one had responsibility. So they come up with a new intelligence czar, who now is Negroponte, because of this failure for anyone to say that they had authority. But guess what? George Tenet was the director of Central Intelligence.
Right.
And guess what? He knew a lot of the dots. And yet George Tenet sails out of this whole thing with a Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Yeah, I know. You screw up in this administration, you get rewarded, promoted. I saw that Karl Rove just got a pay raise this week, in case you missed that. So you're feeling then, Colleen Raleigh, that there's these unanswered questions that we still have about 9/11 tend to, would you suggest that it tends to be folks covering their rear ends more than anything sinister at work here? I have a question from our friend Winter Patriot on the at bradblog.com in the open thread. He says, pardon my sticking my 2 cents in here, but if we want to prevent another attack like 9/11, shouldn't we first try to find out who attacked us on 9/11? Do we know who attacked us on 9/11?
Yeah, I think we have. I think the 9/11 Commission has done a pretty good job. At least now, you have to also remember, the 9/11 Commission was denied an existence for how long? For a year and a half, 2 years.
They fought.
The Bush administration fought it. And then they were given a short time in which they could do their work. And I think with those limitations that they did a pretty good job. They obviously, I know Cynthia McKinney's forum made an issue of the fact that they did not retread a lot of the earlier ground that had been covered by other inquiries. But, you know, they had limited time, and I think to the extent that they operated, I think they did pretty well. I think, though, with your first caller, that the one area that's still murky is the NORAD call-up area.
So you would suggest, then, that it's not really that there's anything more sinister here other than folks trying to cover their asses for what they screwed up on.
Yeah, and you know what's even worse?
Yeah.
You know, if you want to, I don't know if the word sinister is the right one, but I would say appalling. What is appalling is the fact that immediately after 9/11, these neocons seized upon the attack and said, oh, good, here is something we can use now to further our desire to attack Iraq. Now, that alone makes for, if you think about that, and we know that that's the case. That's been reported now by other whistleblowers,
yep.
Richard Clark, Paul O'Neill. And, you know, that alone almost causes people to believe the worst because it is such an appalling attitude.
In your now famous letter to Director Mueller back in 2002, you said, until we come clean with the FBI's pre-September 11th failures and deal with the root causes, the Department of Justice will continue to experience problems fighting terrorism and fighting crime in general. Has the FBI finally come clean, or are they still covering their butts on this?
Well, you know what I think has happened now, and of course when I wrote this I was thinking of some other things. At the time in May of 2002, I was thinking of Mueller's idea to have this big squad in headquarters, which he was calling the Flying Squad. And actually, see, now what has happened is the bureaucracy on terrorism has been more centralized. And what I argued for was a more decentralized approach, you know, where agents who are on the front lines of fighting terrorism,
yeah.
like the customs inspector who caught Rassam, the Millennium Bomber, you know, many times it's a state trooper who catches and prevents an act of terrorism. So I wanted to empower the people on the lower levels. No, what we did was we empowered the people way up at the top again, and we created a Negroponte, who's got, you know, which we already had in the form of George Tenet, but we did it again. We called it a new name. And I don't think any of those types of initiatives really serve much of a purpose.
Okay, we're speaking with Colleen Raleigh, FBI whistleblower, now running for Congress in Minnesota. Give us a call. We'll have just a few more minutes left, 323-650.
Hi, this is James Arthur Yanchik, the Black Knight of Talk Radio, inviting you to join me on a road to truth via the path of non-contradiction. Join us each week on Feet to the Fire, a show with the goals of examining a subject matter on its own merits and test how it stands up to the many possibilities found in reality, all without pre-drawn conclusions found in personal bias. No left or right wings here. No pounding the pulpit of ego-driven my way or the highway attitudes. But there are no free passes given either. Answers to questions are important, but equally important is the reasons and methods used to find the answer. The lack of contradiction is the final judge here on Feet to the Fire.
Feet.
Sunday evenings, 8 to 11 Eastern.
Fire.
Live on the IBC Radio Network.
It's no secret that the trick to making big money on Wall Street is finding out about a company and pre-positioning yourself before it gets discovered. Check out Viper Networks Incorporated, ticker symbol VPER. Viper Networks is a diversified technology development company that markets innovative products and services. Viper is becoming widely known for its V-Phone, a revolutionary product for making telephone calls over the Internet. With the V-Phone, you can make crystal-clear international and long-distance calls for the price of a local call. Computer-to-computer calls cost only a penny per minute. V-Phone connects easily to any personal computer with simple plug-and-play technology. As with all investments, you should consult with a financial advisor before getting involved. This announcement is paid for by VPER and is not a solicitation to buy or sell securities. You could lose some or all of your money. You could make money, too. Learn all about Viper Networks by visiting their website at www.vipernetworks.com. That's www.vipernetworks.com. GhostBed.com.
If you think that ghosts just don't exist, think again.
Ghosts have been captured in photographs, on audio tapes, and even in film. Yes, ghosts do exist at www.renesghosts.com. Life Enthusiast Co-op offers anti-aging and age reversal supplements that help rejuvenate and enrich your body. Visit their website to learn more about these products at life-enthusiast.com.
Finally, an FM transmitter for your PC that works. Introducing the all-new PCI Max 2005. PCI Max 2005 is a computer card that plugs into any existing PC and that will change the way that you listen to your MP3s or live audio forever. It will effectively change your PC into an FM radio station that is FCC Part 15 legal. For more information, visit their website at pcs-electronics.com. In 2004, IBC had a major hard drive failure on a computer that housed all of our audio commercial backups. I thought we were going to have to shell out big bucks. Until I stumbled across a little company claiming their software could do what the $1,000 companies could do. Well, it worked. Get data back. Try a demo today and stop searching for high-priced solutions. Visit runtime.org. That's runtime.org.
Is your name written in the Bible code? Is your past, present, and future encoded in ancient scriptures? Find the answers with Code Finder Millennium Edition Bible Code Software. Discover for yourself the enigmatic phenomenon that is the Bible code. Visit our website now and gain instant access to the world's number one ranked Bible code software, Code Finder, used by thousands of researchers worldwide. Find us at www.codefinder.us. That's www.codefinder.us.
The Lou Gentile Show is a progressive radio talk show that includes paranormal, alternative, unusual, and other than mainstream topics. Hi, this is Lou Gentile. Join me Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. till 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the IBC Radio Network, where we explore ghosts, UFOs, unexplained phenomena, and the paranormal. Check out our website, www.lougentile.com. The Lou Gentile Show, paranormal talk radio with an edge.
The future of radio, the IBC Radio Network.
I have nothing but contempt and anger for those who betray the trust by exposing the name of our sources. They are, in my view, the most insidious of traitors.
Oh, yeah, the House will be a-rockin' once Colleen Rowley is sitting in the U.S. House of Representatives, which we hope will happen soon enough. Next year, she's running in the state of Minnesota, 2nd Congressional District. Boy, I begged you guys to call in earlier. Now the phone's ringing off the hook, of course. Let's see how many calls we can quickly get in here in just a few minutes with Colleen Rowley. Oh, Heidi. Did we lose Heidi or do we have Heidi? Heidi? We don't know. All right, let's try Greg in L.A. Greg, how are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
Very good. Oh, I know who you are, Greg. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for taking me.
Sure. And you had a great story this week on your blog, what, 9/11?
Truthmovement.org.
9/11truthmovement.org. We only have a few minutes, so hit us, if you can, real quickly with your question for Colleen Rowley.
Yeah, I'll just be real quick. I just wondered if Ms. Rowley was aware of the omission by the 9/11 Commission report of Secretary Mineta's testimony and his timeline of his experience in the Presidential Emergency Operating Center on the morning of 9/11, if she was aware of that.
Colleen? Uh-oh.
We're talking about the NORAD call-up again.
Well, actually, it's the Mineta testimony. It relates to the timeline of the experience in the Presidential Emergency Operating Center on the morning of 9/11.
Yeah.
And a standing order that apparently Vice President Cheney had that Mineta testified as to. It was a standing order that existed at 925 or 926 in the Presidential Emergency Operating Center. And Secretary Mineta testified that he was there at the PEOC at 9:20 a.m. And the 9/11 Commission report stated in their report that Vice President Cheney did not arrive until 9:58 a.m. And I wrote an article about this. They also scrubbed the video of Secretary Mineta's testimony from the 9/11 Commission website archive.
And you said that was, Greg, that was the only video that from the 9/11 Commission that was removed from the website, correct?
It's the only that I have found.
All right.
And it was up previously.
All right. Colleen, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, number one, I'm not a person who would have any firsthand knowledge of that type of thing. So this was not the part that I paid the most attention to. When I looked at the 9/11 Commission, I obviously looked most closely at what I know from first and secondhand experience here in Minnesota. But I think from everything I've seen, and I, again, it goes back to the first caller, the sequence and the timeline, and again, it also goes to our Senator Mark Dayton's objections to some of this. And I'll just add one other thing about the FAA that was kind of, it's in line with what I said about failure to admit until it's basically dragged and pulled out of you, just to admit a plain old mistake or plain facts that were known. The second part of the 9/11 Commission report, that very few people are even aware that there was a second thing that was published, dealt with all of the prior warnings to the FAA. And again, these were not things that were readily acknowledged after 9/11. It took all of this pulling and dragging and years, essentially, of even the 9/11 Commission to even get those things out there for the public to see. And, you know, Bush, I think, there's been documentation that they have said, we cannot admit a mistake. We should never admit a mistake. And when that kind of edict goes out, and then you see the people who are rewarded for not admitting mistakes, people like George Tenet and now you said Karl Rove, and essentially everyone I know who made mistakes was promoted. I don't know of anyone who was not promoted.
Colleen,
that sends such a bad signal to everyone working.
It sure does. I'm sorry, I got to run. Hard break. Carl Canetta coming up next. Colleen, thank you for your time. You're listening to The Brad Show on Raw Radio.
Raw Radio.